This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to our followers, my dear respected brothers in Islam, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as in an authentic hadith, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأَ فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَاءِ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states a fact in this hadith. He says that Islam began strange. What does that mean? That Islam began strange. From its meanings is that Islam began with a small number of people, and that is its strangeness. We have the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ammar, Yasir, Bilal, a couple of people, you can count them, began strange. Also, what it means that it began strange, the teachings were strange. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming and preaching to the people not to worship idols. And no one's used to this. This is a strange teaching. Well, Islam came and it is teaching the people how to live their lives. And every teaching that was being addressed and preached was strange at the time. No one was used to this lifestyle. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأ, that al-Islam, it will return strange, just as it started strange. What does this mean? It means that towards the end of time, those who adhere to Islam are going to be small in number as well. Just like al-Islam began and its adherents were small in number. And what it also means, as the ulama mentioned, that the teachings of Islam become strange among the people. The teachings of Islam become strange among the people. Oh Allah, this is very true. This is very true. Today, the most basic matters in Islam, people are heedless about. Just the definition of Islam. So many don't know what Islam means. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that يَدْرُسُ الْإِسْلَامِ, al-Islam would be fading away, would evaporate, would be removed. يَدْرُسُ الْإِسْلَامِ, just like the logo on clothing is faded away. When you have clothing and you continue to wash it time after time after time, what happens to the logo and the markings on the clothes? They begin to fade and wipe away. And this is what happens to Islam at the end of time. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until a point will come in where people would say la ilaha illallah and they have no clue about as-salat, was-siyam, was-zakat, and they will be questioned about what they're saying. What is this la ilaha illallah you're saying? They would say, oh, adrakna aba'ana yaquluna thalik. We lived among our forefathers and we heard them say this word. So we continue to say this word. This is how the state of the people that are considered Muslims would become. وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأ. It would return strange as it began. Today, you ask the people, what does Islam mean? Just the word Islam, what is its definition? And you'll have different answers. People will tell you arkan al-Islam. Al-Islam is al-shahada, al-salat, al-zakat, al-siyam, al-hajj. These are arkan al-Islam. But what is the definition of Islam itself? The definition of Islam, as an ulama rahimahumullah gave and said, that al-Islam huwa al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed, to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a tawheed, declaring His oneness. وَالْإِنْقِيَادُ لَهُ بِالطَّاعَةِ, and to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of obedience, that you obey Him and no one else. You do the commandments and you avoid the prohibitions. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ, and the final meaning of Islam is to disassociate from this belief and all of those who follow it. This is the definition of Islam. And one of the strange matters of Islam today among the people, among the Muslims, is the thing known as Al-Ashhur Al-Hurum, the sacred months. This is something that is very strange among the Muslims as well. Al-Ashhur Al-Hurum. So many don't know what Al-Ashhur Al-Hurum mean and what they are and what makes them special and what do we avoid in these months. And as though the entire year is all the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, this is what we're discussing, Al-Ashhur Al-Hurum. Since we are in one of them right now, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. From when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, He declared 12 months. And these are the 12 months of the year that we have in the Islamic calendar. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla said, مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. From among these 12 months are 4 months that are sacred. أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. This is the correct upright religion, that people should observe the sacredness of 4 months. And these 4 months, 3 come right after each other and 1 is separated from these 3. And they are the month of Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, that's the month we're in now, and then one comes on its own, and that is the month of Rajab. These 3 months come together. Dhul Qa'dah, Qa'dah means to sit down, because in the months, the sacred months, it is forbidden to engage in war. To initiate a war, it is forbidden to do so in the sacred months. In the sacred months, this is why they're called Muharram, or they're called Haram, Ash-Shahr al-Hurum, because it is haram initially to initiate war in them. So Dhul Qa'dah, the month of sitting down, sit down, do not initiate war. Then comes Dhul Hijjah. Dhul Hijjah is the month of Hajj. So 1 month before it was made sacred so that people can come to the Hajj in peace and in safety, not wanting to fight anyone and no one fighting them. And then Dhul Hijjah, people will do Hajj in this month. And then the month after it, which is the beginning of the new year, and that is Muharram, so that people that have finished Al-Hajj can now go back to their towns and tribes without having to have an issue with a war and someone coming and fighting them. And then there comes the month of Rajab. And it's known as Rajab Mudar, because the Arab tribe of Mudar used to observe its sacredness. And so these months were sacred among the Arabs before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a prophet to mankind. They have always been sacred. عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم. From them. And so the Arab tribes used to really observe the sacredness of these months, to the point where if there was a tribe in which a member of theirs were killed, and the killer would walk past them during the sacred months, they would not touch him. No one would touch him. Leno, it is a severe sin to approach and harm anyone during the sacred months. Subhanallah. Wallah Azza wa Jalla, He says, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not wrong yourselves during these sacred months. Don't do any haram in these months, especially in these months. You see, the idea is, the sins are sins. They're haram all year round. Avoid and keep away from sins all year round. But when these 4 months come, don't you dare approach them. Especially in the 4 sacred months, keep away from sin. I do what you need to do, but keep away from sin. Don't you dare approach any sin, let alone harm others as well. Because لَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ means 2 things. Do not wrong yourselves. And obviously, if you shouldn't wrong yourselves, then you should not wish harm upon others. Do not wrong and oppress others. This is the meaning of the ayah. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Keep away from this. Now the idea of the Ashhur al-Hurum, during the time of the Arabs, before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Arabs used to play around with the Ashhur al-Hurum, with the sacred months. They used to play around with them. How? They used to change them according to what they desire and what they like. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned this in the Quran. إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ يُضَلُّ بِهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. النَّسِيءَ, which is to delay. They used to delay these months, move them around. يعني, let's say we have Muharram is a sacred month. So they would say to their people that today and this month, it's Muharram, but they'll say today is Safar. Today is the month of Safar. Safar is not a sacred month. So then later on, they would say, okay, in Safar, let's put Muharram in that place. They used to mix around the months. It's like someone coming and saying to you, the beginning of the year is December. Then we have November, then August, then June. Then we bring in February after that. And then they just flipped and changed around. And the entire calendar and count became in ruins. This is what they did. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, يُحِلُّونَهُ عَامًا وَيُحَرِّمُونَهُ عَامًا. They would make certain months of the year sacred, and the sacred months, they would make them not sacred. And the non-sacred months would be formed or made sacred. Like this, they're playing around. يُحِلُّونَهُ عَامًا وَيُحَرِّمُونَهُ عَامًا لِيُوَاطِئُوا عِدَّةَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. But eventually, if 1 year would pass by, they would make 4 months of the year sacred, because that's what the count is, right? But yallah, anything. So they mixed everything around. Well, this is a serious problem, because that's it. People had forgotten the original count. The correct count has been forgotten. So you can possibly fast Ramadan, not during Ramadan, and you could do Hajj other than Dhul Hijjah. It became an issue. So what happened in the last year that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in, the final year, and this is his Hajjatul Wada' in the farewell Hajj. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on the day of Arafah and he gave a sermon, a khutbah. And he began by saying, إِنَّ الزَّمَانَ قَدْ إِسْتَدَارَ كَهَيْئَتِهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allahu Akbar. Look what Islam does. It recalibrates everything. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on Arafah and he said to the people, إِنَّ الزَّمَانَ, the time, the idea of time, قَدْ إِسْتَدَارَ كَهَيْئَتِهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The timing, the months, everything has returned back to normal from the day Allah Azza wa Jalla has created the heavens and the earth. Everything has been collaborated. And today I'm standing giving you a khutbah, or today is Dhul Hijjah. Khalas, that's it. We've reset the counter. And today is Dhul Hijjah. The next month will be Muharram. And the month before this was Dhul Qa'dah. And these are the correct months now, from now on. Khalas, yani from then on, there is no more doubt concerning the months that we have in Islam. Now, when we fast Ramadan, we are actually fasting the month that Allah wants us to fast. But before this, we said the Arabs have destroyed and ruined the count. And now, when we do Hajj, we are actually doing Hajj on its correct time. Because since then, until today, no one has played around with this calendar. And this is from the miracles of Islam, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has preserved the count of the calendar that we have. For now we are in the month of Muharram. Muharram is a sacred month. And these months, the sacred months, and we said three come in a row, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, and we said the greatest command in these months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would mention specifically in the Quran, that we keep away from sin. We keep away from wrongdoing. And so it's as though these sacred months are a training ground for us. That we sit down and we observe. What is the consequence of sins? How dangerous are sins? These are 3 months. We're supposed to avoid the sins and put extra effort to keep away from sins. This is, yani, during the year, you're perhaps falling in sin and so on. But in these months, you have to keep away from sin. It's a huge deal. It's a huge crime. It's a major thing to commit a sin during the sacred months. The soul, the nafs, is being trained 3 months consecutive. Rethink the dangers of sin. Rethink the consequence of sin. Don't approach a sin. Beware. Eventually, the people of the hellfire ended up in the fire because of sins. And those who last in the hellfire forever was because of the biggest of all sins, and that is al-kufr. And the sins in and of themselves, if a person continues upon them and does not repent, they eventually lead to kufr. As an ulama, rahimahumullah, would say, al-ma'asi baridu al-kufr. That the sins, they're a pathway to kufr. They are. The sins are a pathway to kufr. Because if a person commits a sin and continues to commit this sin until it becomes normal in his life, until he no longer decides to declare it, it's a sin, that is a kufr in and of itself. If Allah has said something is haram, one day you come and you say it's not haram, so that he can suit whatever desire that's within you, that in Islam is known as al-istihlal. You have declared what Allah made haram halal. This is kufr. Then now, as though you have acted in the position of Allah, and I will decide what is halal and haram. Kufr. Ma'ath Allah. But this is what sins do if a person is not aware and continues to follow up his sin with tawbah and istighfar. For we want to share some things about the consequences and the dangers of sins. Since these are the months in which we should be extra careful not to fall in any kind of sin whatsoever. Don't have the attitude during these months like you'll have with other months of the year. You cannot, the Muslim cannot do this. And these months were sacred from the day Allah created the heavens and the earth. The first consequence and danger of sins is that the heart slowly and gradually blackens. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا أَذْنَبْ نُكِتَ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةً سَوْدَاءً. Whenever the slave commits a sin, a black dot is inscribed on his heart. There is a black dot placed on his heart. And this is for one sin. And every sin after that, it's followed up with another black dot. And a black dot. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِن تَابَ فَإِن هُوَ نَزَعَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ. That هو نزع. If he stops right away and he seeks forgiveness, the heart becomes polished. It becomes white and clean once again. Tawbah is very important. And we're speaking about the people that commit the sin and continue to commit the sin without following it with istighfar and tawbah. Commitment upon the sin. That will gradually blacken the heart. Every sin is a black dot on the heart. Until what? Until the heart itself dies. What is the sign of a dead heart? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the heart becomes كَالْكُوزِ مُجَخِّيَا لَا يَعْرِفُ مَعْرُوفًا وَلَا يُنْكِرُ مُنْكَرًا إِلَّا مَا أُشْرِبَ مِنْ هَوَاهِ. It can come so bad. The state of the heart due to sins could become so black, and the sign of its death is that a person becomes like this. لَا يَعْرِفُ مَعْرُوفًا. He doesn't know what's good anymore. وَلَا يُنْكِرُ مُنْكَرًا. And he doesn't know how to condemn al-munkar. He does not know how to condemn the evil. And do you see today in society, you look at communities such as the homosexual community, and you say, I mean, what's wrong with these people? Well, the idea is that the heart has become so black and dead that it does not see the good for what it is, and it does not condemn the evil. The evil, man with man, has become ma'roof. that's become something good. And people that are committing onto what Allah has created them upon, al-fitrah, that is evil. That's seen as something evil. How does a person become like this? How does he become like this? And the pressure is on. The pressure is on people to accept these people. Accept them for what they are. Heck, you have to accept it. We don't accept it. لأن the believer in whose heart is still clean and repents from his dhunub, the heart is crystal, it's clean, he will continue to see the good as good and the evil, evil. And according to how much you condemn the evil and you see the good for what it is, according to the state of your heart. The more black, the less this measure will be in your life. Yeah, the more black, the less and less you'll see yourself responding to evil. And if it's dyed, you become one of these people. In wa khalas, everything's all the same. Allah, Allahu Akbar. And the heart can die. Wallahi, it can die. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to Musa. He said to him, Ya Musa, Inna awwala man mada min khalqi Iblis. The first who died from among my creation was Iblis. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ عَصَانِي. And that is because he sinned and disobeyed me. And from then on he did not make a tawbah. And he continues to rebel and transgress against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّمَا أَعُدُّ مَنْ عَصَانِي مِنَ الْأَمْوَاتِ. And I consider those who disobey me and continue to sin against me, I consider them dead. Yani the one who sins prepares his heart for death. As he's alive, he's walking but he's dead. You know, there are some people, and this is a major sin in Islam, and it is rampant around the world, and that is suicide. You know, suicide, it's become a big problem. Wherever you go around the world, it's become a big issue. Yani, tens and tens of people committing suicide a day. Here, we're speaking here. And then overseas, wallahu a'lam, the highest, yani, they're speaking about which country has the highest suicide rate. Heather, the one who commits suicide. We're speaking about, yani, those who commit suicide as a result of their depression and their suffering. The vast majority of case is the blackness of the heart. Such a person is walking around with a dead heart. What does life mean for him anymore? What does life mean for him? He doesn't have Allah in his life. Allah in your life is life for the heart. A dhikr in your heart is life for the heart. It brings it back to life. The one who has no dhikr of Allah, the one who has no Allah in his life, he's a dead man walking. It's only his body that functions. So what's the point of living? And he causes death to himself. And of course, not to make this as a general rule, because there are some people that are actually suffering, have some kind of psychological illness, or he's committed to Islam, or so on, and eventually something happens and he kills himself. Such people, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla, if they're among the Muslims, that he forgive their sins. But the idea is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, with dhikr in your life, with tawbah in your life, continues to revive this heart and keep it alive so that people can keep away from these major sins. Faithen, that's the first consequence of sin. The heart gradually becomes black until it dies. Once it's dead, we said, you no longer see the evil as evil and you no longer see the good as being something good. You will only see the good for being good if it suits your desire, that's all. He doesn't even love the good because Allah loves it. He loves it because he himself loved it. And the believer should love the good because Allah loves it, and should hate the evil because Allah hates it. This is part of what is known as al-wala'u wal-bara'. Al-wala'u wal-bara', meaning to love what Allah loves and to hate what he subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. It's a fundamental principle in Islam. You can only do this if you're clean from sins and you avoid sins. Shuf, the one whose heart is black and it has died, sometimes he'll see the good. Not because Allah loves it. إِلَّا مَا أُشْرِبَ مِنْ هَوَاهِ. Because he desires it. So Allah, everything goes according to what he wants. The second consequence of sins is that it deprives a person from success and barakah in his life. Whose success and barakah is gone. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. It is only those who fear Allah by implementing His commands and avoiding the prohibitions. Only such people, Allah Azza wa Jalla, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. He would ease their affairs. Easing their affairs, meaning there is barakah and success and ease in their life. There's goodness in their life. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, opposite to this ayah is true. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. The one who does not fear Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who doesn't have this taqwa of Allah, then Allah will not ease his affairs. Al-barakah is removed from his life. Success is removed from his life. And it becomes difficult. Life becomes difficult. La, because this person avoided the taqwa of Allah. And avoiding the taqwa of Allah is to commit sin after sin after sin with no repentance. Ibn Sirin rahimahullah, when he lost his wealth, he became bankrupt at one stage. And the people came and said to him, Yani, that you have lost, you've become bankrupt. What is this? What happened to you? He said to them, it is a sin I committed 40 years ago. They said to him, what was it? He said, عَيَّرْتُ رَجُلًا. I spoke ill of someone. Someone was poor. I said to him, يَا فَقِير. He insulted someone, some beggar. Look at this beggar. And he said, it is a consequence I've been waiting for from 40 years ago. And the ulama that came after him, that commented on this story, yani were answering the question of how can he remember a sin 40 years ago? He said, because their sins were very minimal. You can count their sins on the hands, on the fingers of the hand. So they still remember that this sin, this is its consequence, and this one is that consequence. Subhanallah. Al-barakah was removed because of a sin that he had committed. This is the story he mentions about himself. And this is what he wants us to understand from what had happened to him. Subhanallah. A third consequence and a danger of sins is that you become detached from righteous people and the gathering of righteous people. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, إِنَّ لِلْمَعْصِيَةِ بُغْضًا فِي قُلُوبِ الْخَلْقِ. That the sin, it brings hatred in the hearts of people towards the sinner. Heck, subhanallah, the one who continues upon sin, those around him begin to develop some sort of hate towards him. وَضِيقًا فِي الرِّزْقِ, and it restricts provision. وَوَهْنًا فِي الْبَدَنِ, and it weakens the body. وَظُلْمَةً فِي الْقَلْبِ, and it brings darkness in the heart. وَعَائِشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا, she wrote to Muawiyah رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, she said, فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا عَمِلَ بِمَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ عَادَ حَامِدُهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ ذَامًا لَهُ. That if a person continues upon sin, then what happens is those who praised him begin to rebel against him and disgrace him. Subhanallah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, above these two narrations, he said, مَا تَوَادَّا اثْنَانِ فَفُرِّقَ بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِذَنْبٍ يُذْنِبُهُ أَحَدُهُمَا. There are no two people that loved each other. Then they find themselves distant from each other, separated from each other. Could be a husband and wife, could be a friend and his friend, could be a person and his children, could be anything. Any two people who loved each other for the sake of Allah, then they were distant from each other. The reason the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِلَّا بِذَنْبٍ يُذْنِبُهُ أَحَدُهُمَا, because of a sin that one of the two is committing. He has a sin in secret, in private, that he continues to commit and he has not yet repented from it. He does not follow it up with istighfar. So it catches up to him and it brings upon a feel that others would sense and keep away from him. Subhanallah. This is always the explanation. That's why when we have husband and wife with an issue, or two people with an issue, why? What have you been doing? Or what have you been doing? You might find that one of them catches up to what you're speaking. You don't want them obviously to expose themselves and say what they're committing. But open this discussion. Allow them to know that the sin one commits could deprive him from a good relationship with his friend. Another thing, this is the fourth thing, that sins could bring about and its consequence and dangers is that it brings disgrace to the heart. As Yani al-Sha'ir said, I can't remember who he was, he said, رَأَيْتُ الذُّنُوبَ تُمِيتُ الْقُلُوبَ وَقَدْ يُورِثُ الذُّلَّ إِدْمَانُهَا رَأَيْتُ الذُّنُوبَ, I have seen, I've experienced that sins cause heart to die, cause death upon the heart. وَقَدْ يُورِثُ الذُّلَّ إِدْمَانُهَا, and continuity upon sin brings disgrace to the heart. Another consequence, deprived from the light of knowledge and deprived of wisdom. Shafi'i rahimahullah used to attend the classes of Al-Imam Malik. And Shafi'i was a student of Al-Imam Malik. So Al-Imam Malik recognized that Al-Shafi'i was very smart, had a talent. He was, subhanAllah, Allah had given him power of the mind and the intellect in terms of memorizing and understanding wisdom, mashallah. Al-Imam Malik, he said to him, إني أرى أن الله قد ألقى على قلبك نورا فلا تطفئه بالظلمة المعصية. He says, I can sense. Al-Imam Malik is saying to his student, Al-Shafi'i, I can sense that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you light in your heart. So do not extinguish it with sin and disobedience. Now, this is true. The light of knowledge and wisdom would be extinguished with sin. And this is why years later, Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he had troubles memorizing. It had never happened in his life. He had troubles memorizing. What had happened, as he was walking, he saw the ankle of a woman that was in front of him. The ankle of a woman, nothing else. So then he went to Waqi'a, which was another teacher of his. And he says in lines of poetry, Imam al-Shafi'i later on would document this. And he says, شَكَوْتُ إِلَىٰ وَكِيعٍ سُوءَ حِفْظِ. I went to Waqi'a, my teacher, and I complained to him about the terrible nature of my memorization. Can't memorize like I used to do before. The Imam al-Shafi'i, when he wanted to memorize something, he'd open the book, he'd put something on one side so that it doesn't mix with the other side. And he'd quickly memorize it and then move on to the next part of the page. So then Waqi' said to him, فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي. Shuf, his teacher's smart. He said to him, avoid sins. And that was the first response to Imam al-Shafi'i from his teacher. He told him, avoid sins. And then he said to him, وقال, اعلم بأن العلم نور ونور الله لا يؤتاه عاصي. He said to him, Shafi'i, you better know that العلم نور, knowledge is light. ونور الله لا يؤتاه عاصي. And the light of Allah is not given to a sinner. No, it doesn't. It doesn't belong in the heart of a sinner. And this is, once again, we're speaking about those who are continuous upon sin. Does not repent, does not seek forgiveness. Another consequence is that a sin leads to another sin. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمُهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي إِلَّا مَنْ اغْتَرَفَ غَرْفَةً أَوْ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُ. A story of Talut and Jalut. Talut is the leader of the believers at the time, and he's leading the believers to go to the holy house and to fight Jalut and his army. So they pass by a river. There is a river. This is the river of Jordan. They're coming by. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, he had revealed to our Prophet, and eventually this command was received by Talut. He said to his people, listen up. We're going to cross a river right now. Allah Azza wa Jal has forbidden us to drink from this river, except a handful. Now you know, the people have been traveling for a while. Everyone's thirsty. And you see this beautiful, cool river in front of you. It becomes a fitna. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَارِ Allah wants to test you all with this river. Whose water is halal. But Allah Azza wa Jal has made it haram. Hack a test to see if you people cannot be patient on water. What are you going to do with you when you reach the army there? And then all of you, when you see the army, you're going to run away. La, Allah Azza wa Jal wants the most pure and sincere of people. So he tested them with a little bit of water. He said to them, فَمَن شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي Anyone who drinks and commits the sin of drinking from this water is no longer a part of my army. Go back. You're not eligible to come with me and fight Jalut and his army. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ All of them drank from it. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ Except a small number of them. A small number passed the test. But this is what's beautiful. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, those who drank handfuls, because remember, what was permissible? One handful. Ibn Abbas said, those who disobeyed Allah's command and drank handful after handful after handful of this beautiful water in front of them, their thirst was not quenched. And those who obeyed Allah and drank one handful, their thirst was quenched and it was more than enough for them. Allahu Akbar. Al-halal is enough for you. Wal-haram, no matter how much you committed, you will never, ever, ever be satisfied from it. You know the people that commit zina, Hoshu once in his life, every weekend, or whenever he has the chance. Yalla, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Hada la'anna al-haram doesn't satisfy. But meanwhile, the one who gets married bil halal, alhamdul, one's enough. Like, ya ammi, two's enough. Or three or four's enough, khalas. After that, he doesn't need anymore. And halal is enough. And halal is satisfying. Shuvul alcohol. People that drink alcohol on the weekends, Thursday night or whatever it is, across the pub. They don't drink one cup. But 10 cups. He's sitting 10 cups in one sitting. I can't drink 10 cups of water in one sitting. No one can do that. Al-halal is satisfying. Al-haram, no matter how much you do of it, it is never satisfying. Hagel gambling. Al-gambling is addiction. Gambling is an addiction. You walk in there, one after the other, and you're there next week, and the week after, and the week after, to the point where now there's a new law coming in to say that before you gamble, you must commit to something you're going to put once that money is finished, you get out. Is that how you control the problem? This is their solution. How can Shaitan tell them control it in this manner? And it's terrible. It won't work. The only way to control it is to remove it from earth. But that's the idea of sins. One leads to another. And the sad news for that person is that you will never be satisfied. SubhanAllah, for what do people run after when they commit sin? You're running after something you will not be satisfied of. Meanwhile, resort to that which is halal and permissible and Allah loves. Alhamdulillah, you'll find yourself content and satisfied. Now, for this is a major issue concerning sins. One leads to another. And I said to you at the beginning that it could lead to the point where a person could become a kafir. If he normalized this sin in his life and declares it as being or decides to declare it as being halal, hada kafir. As Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, about the disbelievers, وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً He first commits the sin. قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا أَبَاءَنَا He begins to justify, saying, well, our forefathers used to do this. It's normal, society does it. What's the next stage? وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا Allah commanded us to do this sin. Shukman hadha kafar. Khalas kafar this person. Because he ascribed a sin to Allah and said that Allah has declared this halal. Wa hadha kafar. This is why a person needs to be careful and follow up his sins with a tawbah and istighfar. From among the consequences and dangers is a person hates himself. Ya Allah, a person will hate himself. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنَادَوْنَ لَمَقْتُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ مَقْتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ إِذْ تُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ فَتَكْفُرُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about disbelievers that have ended up in the hellfire. They will be addressed. They will be told. لَمَقْتُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ مَقْتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Allahu Akbar. The hatred that Allah has for you, for those in the hellfire, the hatred that Allah has for you people is bigger and greater than the hatred you have for your own self. If a person can hate himself, how does a person hate himself? إِذْ تُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ فَتَكْفُرُونَ. Every time you're called to that which is good, al-iman, you reject and you turn away. Takfurun, you reject it. For this is the ultimate of the ultimate, هذا الكافر. But the sinner shares a part of this. The one who continues to commit sin after sin after sin, with no repentance, no istighfar in between, eventually it'll catch to him. He'll hate himself. A person can hate himself. And if this person reaches al-kufr, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us, and he's thrown in the fire, he's then told Allah hates you more than you hate yourself. Allahu Akbar. The ninth consequence and dangers of sin is that it deprives you of good. You choose a path of sin, وَاتِّبَعَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَالْهَوَى and desires, then you're on this path. And on this path there are no good deeds. So you're deprived of good. Eventually a person struggles to pray his prayers on time. Cannot read Quran, sits down for 5 minutes. Oh, I can't read anymore, it's heavy. Finds himself stingy and greedy and cannot give fi sabilillah. Why? Why has this person been deprived of good? Sins. Sins deprive a person from good. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah from among as-salaf, he said, I was deprived the night prayers for 5 months because of a sin I committed. Heck, he's telling us. He wants us to know what one sin did in his life. Al-Hasan al-Basri, a man came to him and I said to him, I cannot pray the night prayers no longer. He said to him, قَيَّدَتْكَ الذُّنُوبُ. Your sins have shackled you down. A man came to Al-Hasan al-Basri and he said to him, advise me, how do I pray the night? He said to him, simple, do not disobey him in the day and he'll allow you to stand before him during the night. Very simple. For sins and a continuity of sins without tawbah or istighfar deprives a person from doing the good. And a final consequence I share with you is that the one who continues to commit sin without tawbah or istighfar is deprived from the dua of the angels. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشَ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا حَمَلَةُ الْعَرْشِ. Those who carry the arsh, the 8 angels, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given permission to inform us about one attribute of one of these angels. Just one information. The distance between his earlobe and his shoulder is a travel of 700 years. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa was given permission to give us this. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given us this. And that's just one attribute. Allahu alam. This is one of the angels, and there are 8 of them that carry this throne. يحملون العرش. They carry the throne. ومن حوله. And the angels that are around. يسبحون بحمد ربهم. They continue to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They declare His perfection by praising Him. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. ويؤمنون به. And they believe in Allah. ويستغفرون للذين آمنوا. And they continue to seek istighfar for the believers. Allahu Akbar. Imagine this. The angel from where he is, carrying al-arsh, upon which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From there they are seeking istighfar, they are seeking forgiveness for the believers. What do they say? They say, رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. They say, oh Allah, وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. Your knowledge and your mercy has covered every single thing you have created. فَغْفِرْ. So forgive. لِلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ النَّارِ أو عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. So forgive those who follow your path. Those who follow your path and those who continue to seek istighfar and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا. Bas. Only those who make tawbah and istighfar are given this dua, they are given this dua of the angels. As for the one who does not seek istighfar and tawbah after his sin and sin after sin, is deprived of this dua. Subhanallah. And the dua of the angels is an accepted dua. Subhanallah. Wallahu a'lam. Yani this is what we wanted to bring to your attention, since we are now in these sacred months, the month of Muharram. Today is the 9th. Tomorrow is the 10th, and it is recommended to fast today and tomorrow. If not, then tomorrow and the day after. The one who does the day of Ashura and a day before and after earns two rewards. The reward of opposing the Jews that do not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that have launched their attack on our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Today is the month of Muharram. We're speaking about its sacredness, and these people await their arrogance and rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. They await the sacred month to do their destruction and their oppression. Upon who? Upon the believers. For the one who fasts a day before and after earns the reward of opposing the Jews. And then he fasts the 10th, he earns the reward of a previous year of sins forgiven. Sins that you remember, sins that you have forgotten about, sins you committed intentionally, unintentionally, sins that you committed jokingly or seriously, all of it is wiped away. We need this day, we need to fast this day because we need the reward. And we need two of the reward, right? For this is Ashura, do a day before or a day after. It's better to do a day before, which is today, the 9th and the 10th. But if today is not easy or possible, then the 10th and the 11th. Try to do 2 days. And if you cannot, and I don't want to say if you cannot, push yourself to do the 2 days, but يعني, the most important of them all is the 10th. And if a person fasted the 10th alone, it's permissible, it's fine. Lakin you have missed out on the reward and something Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam desired to do had he lived the year after. But he didn't. But if he did, he was going to fast the 9th and the 10th. And this is what the Sahaba would do after this, what the entire Ummah has done after this. We push ourselves and we push each other to do this. We fast the 9th, the 10th, or the 10th and the 11th. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most importantly, to accept from us, to give us the ability to continue to worship Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us away from sin and transgression and rebellion. We ask Allah azza wa jal to save us and our children and our generations to come. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us upon the straight path, the path that leads us to the paradise. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.